Hello and welcome to the Empowered Hormone Podcast, where we pull apart all those taboo topics, periods, parasites, poos, hormones and more. Let's question everything you've been taught about your body. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, a gin-loving gut health nerd, passionate about debunking myths on birth control, period pain and IBS. If you struggle with bloating or your period is less than pretty, then join me as we chat about everything relating to gut and hormone health. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Hormones Podcast. I'm back chatting with Lara again today, and we are going to chat through kind of the basics of sports nutrition, what to eat, when to eat, how to eat pre and post workout, because I find that so many women I work with don't know what they should be eating before they go to the gym, what they should be eating after they go to the gym. And, you know, like, what does that look like for someone who, let's just say, are like you and me and are ordinary women? We're not high-end athletes. We don't have someone organizing our food for us.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of, I find it's quite important sort of have that knowledge around it. And we're just chatting before we jumped on this podcast how you've just learned about it in your nutrition studies and how different it is from nutrition.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think I found that because I did it in sports science and we did a nutrition unit, and I was like, oh, they're telling me to eat all these simple carbs where I've always been told like fiber and complex carbs.
Yeah. And then they're like, limit your fiber, otherwise you'll get gut issues and all. Totally different.
Yeah. It's quite a world. So before we jump into that, I just want to remind you guys listening that if you are having gut issues and you're going, look, I want to eat more food or I want to eat more carbs and I'm bloated and constipated and loose stools, please make sure you jump to the link in the notes, you have a look at the root cause stuff, and you think about getting some testing done. Because as we know, as we chat about through today, this stuff is not relevant for everyone. So you might go, oh, well, low fiber really doesn't work for me. I have to have high fiber because I have to have bowel movements, or I get constipated or I get loose stools. Make sure you think about getting some stool testing done and some comprehensive testing done. Because like I said, if you want to get to that point where you can pre and post load your body with exercise and with food, you need to get your gut right first. We all know that. So let's jump into it. So when we're talking about exercise from a real basic point of view, we go, why do we need carbohydrates, right? Well, we go, we need carbs because we need energy. And anyone who's done like keto or a high fat diet or a high protein diet and really cut back their carbs will know how much that influences your energy. And when we cut back those carbs, when we cut back that energy, we affect our periods, we affect our thyroid, and we affect our rebuilding and repair. So when it comes to exercise, are there a couple of different energy systems that we're using these carbs for, or what's the go?
Yeah, so we've got aerobic and anaerobic energy systems. So aerobic is kind of like your endurance sports. So that would be like running, riding, swimming, team sports. So these are performed at a lower intensity over a longer period of time, meaning the body is able to take in enough oxygen to support your metabolic processes and fuel the muscles. And then we've got your anaerobic, which is like your high energy bursts of energy. So you've got like HIIT, if that makes sense. You've got your HIIT, your CrossFit, boxing, circuit training. You know, basketball would be like a mix as well, because you've got your sprints, but then you're doing it for a long period of time as well. So that can be a mixture of aerobic and anaerobic.
There'd be so many sports like that where you go, oh, I don't like just do aerobic, or I don't just do anaerobic. How does that feel?
There can be a mixture. And then you've got your PCR system and your glycolytic system as well.
So there's different, like, I remember learning about the Krebs cycle and the way we metabolize carbohydrates and we use them in our body and the ATP process and all that stuff, and it can get really specific, and we're not here today to talk about that. What we're here to talk about is when you feel like shit before or after you exercise, this is why. You don't recover well, this is why. When you lose your period, this is why. When your hair starts falling out of your head and you wonder why, it's because your thyroid's not happy and because you're not having enough carbohydrates. So for a lot of women, like if they've got kids and maybe similar to you, they're going to the gym, you know, 1, 2, 3 times a week, maybe. We kind of go, well, how much, you know, how much do I need a pre and post carbohydrate load? Because you're like, I'm not an athlete. I'm yes, I probably, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but your goal might be to tone up and put on a little bit of muscle, but you're not trying to build. Yeah, exactly. And to probably compete or anything, right?
No.
So when we're looking at that, it's kind of like, okay, well, let's just say for the general Joe, and she's going to the gym and she's like, okay, well, I go mid-morning, like maybe I go around 9 a.m. after school drop-off, or, you know, you might go in the evening at 5 or 6 p.m. when the husband gets home, or some women will go like 5 a.m. sort of before that whole school run kind of thing. There's a couple of different ways we approach that. So when it's early morning and you don't get a chance to eat before you go because you're going at 5 or 6 or 7 a.m., you must eat a high-carb, high-protein meal the night before. So let it store in your body, store in your liver. So it stores overnight. You've got access to that in the morning, and off you go. Like, I always still recommend you have something small, like an adrenal cocktail, which has your collagen, your orange juice, a little bit of fat in it as well. So you've got something in your system.
Would you recommend a coffee, or is that a no-go?
Well, a lot of women do as a stimulant, but the only thing with that is I don't mind, but I would have a bit of fat with it, because it's just going to spike your blood sugar. So like a little bit of milk or a bit of cream or a little bit of something. You don't need a lot of fat. But just something, because otherwise you're going to, coffee's going to stimulate cortisol and stimulate your metabolism, which is fine, but you're going to be running off cortisol for that whole session then, as opposed to glycogen from your muscles, right? So I always say, like, before you go to bed, have like some yogurt and some fruit, or have, you know, a small bit of toast with some cheese or something that's got a bit of carbs, a bit of protein in it. So rather than like having dinner at 6 or 7, going to bed at 9 or 10, and then training at like 5 a.m. and not having anything in your system. You've got nothing to access. So I always say, like, have something the night before, like usually Greek yogurt or something, or a good high protein yogurt is going to sit. Casein also helps you sleep. If you don't do dairy, add collagen or your protein powder to some coconut yogurt, or do a smoothie or something. And then, in the morning, that first thing in the morning, try to have something small, or sip on orange juice. So you've got some simple carbohydrates while you do that workout, because your adrenals want those carbs as well. It doesn't want to be running off cortisol alone. So that's the morning one. Those who exercise at 9 or 10 a.m., you've got a bit of time. Like, you've got time to have a banana, or even if you have breakfast early at 7, you want to have it sort of in that 2 hours before. So for me, like, say this morning I had brekkie around 7, I went for a run at 9:30 or whatever it was. Like, I gave myself an hour and a half, because I had something light, just some toast and some eggs, but you could have fruit or muesli or yogurt or anything along those lines. Give it a couple hours, have your coffee, and then sort of go to the gym later.
Would you recommend having like protein before you work out, or the after you work out?
Both. So you're looking at prior to workout, you're looking at a minimum 2-to-1 ratio of protein to carbs. So you're kind of going, well, if I'm having 30 grams of protein, then I want to be having around 60 grams of carbs, right? But no more than 10 grams of fat. So you want to keep that fat low so that it's metabolized quite well. So that prior, and then post, because you're so insulin sensitive post-workout, in that sort of first 30 to 60 minute window, you can even go as much as a 3-to-1 ratio of protein to carbs if you're on a high carb diet. Like, you could go, like, I wouldn't recommend not under 25 grams of protein. So anything over 25 grams, it gets to a certain level and it stimulates muscle synthesis better. So hit that 25 grams plus and then sort of look at your carbs to that. On a day-to-day basis, like if say you're having a day off and you're not exercising, right?
Yeah.
You can sit on that one-to-one ratio of protein and carbs to balance blood sugar. So 25 grams of protein, 25 grams of carbs. If you're on a lower carb diet, and that's fine, but before exercise, that 2 hours before, to really get enough glycogen to fuel you, and then post to rebuild, repair, and get you ready for, you know, going on in the day, then I really recommend at a minimum that 2-to-1 sort of ratio, like I said, pre and post workout, because you can just up those carbs because you're going to be using them. Whereas like before bed, I mean, I eat a lot of carbs before bed, but then I train in the morning. So I don't like, I don't care, but then I go, well, before bed, you don't have to. Like for most people, if they're exercising in the morning, they might have a higher fat, lower carb dinner. So it might be like, let's say like a steak and some light veggies for dinner.
Yeah.
As opposed to in the morning, you want that bit of lower fat, but a lot of carbs because you're going to be utilizing it. So it's kind of planning your day a bit. So like people need to be tracking to be able to do those things. And I think that's the big thing that a lot of women struggle with. They're like, well, one, I don't have the time to track. And I'm like, that's fine. Yeah. But download MyFitnessPal anyway and pop in the meal you're going to have pre or post and just see where it sits with your grams. So at least you know, you don't need to, you don't need to look across your whole day, but at least you can know that pre and post workout, you're getting what you need to rebuild. Because if you're finding that your periods are heavy or you're tired or your hair's falling out, all those things, you're probably not eating enough carbohydrates and you're probably not eating enough protein and you're probably way overeating in fat. That's general across the board what I see in most people, because fats taste good. We want fat. Like, whereas protein, nearly every woman struggles to get enough protein in their diet. Yeah. Try hitting 140 grams of protein a day without adding in egg whites and protein powders and high protein yogurt and a lot of dairy. It's really, really hard. And as a mum, I find it the hardest because they're like, well, my kids come first, so I feed them and then I kind of just take what's left. And it's usually, it's usually like a bit of veggies and rice because they want the meat too. Like, so I think even though tracking may not be sustainable for everyone, I think doing it for a week or doing it for a day and actually going, hey, my fats are at 100 and my protein's down at like 40 grams. Oh, flip. Yeah. Like that's nowhere near enough. Like I would eat that in one meal. So really starting to understand that I find is important. And then you can sort of go, well, I'm not going to track all the time, but I just want to make sure I've really got my workout nutrition sorted so that I recover really well. Because you'll notice if you increase your exercise and you increase your carbs, you will recover so much better as opposed to staying on a high fat diet and not eating enough carbs, adding that exercise in, and you'll get sorer, you won't recover as well, and you'll definitely get tireder too.
Yeah, definitely. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So when you say recover quicker, do you mean like less, like your muscles will hurt less the next day?
Yeah, DOMS, like sore muscles, even rebuild, like a lot of women struggle to build muscle. So if you're struggling to build muscle, that's a protein thing as well. Like, are you eating enough protein and are you eating enough carbs? Like when you notice, like, let's just take the fitness model diet industry and you see them when they're on their build and you sort of see these photos on Instagram of, you know, like when they're competing and they're super lean and you're like, whoa, they're tiny, but they're really muscly. That's because the 6 months leading up, they ate in an excess, right? And they ate an excess of carbs. Sure, they hit their protein every day, don't get me wrong, but they ate that extra carbs. So yes, they were holding a bit of extra body fat. They're still small and as a sense, but they're holding a bit of extra body fat because they're feeding their muscles those extra carbs as well. So if you're not giving your body carbohydrates, you're not going to build muscle. So it's a, you know, kind of as simple as that in a sense. You will lose body fat, but you will also lose muscle if you cut back what you're eating.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I think also the carbs is an issue because we worry about overeating carbs, right? Yeah. Like it's like,
am I eating too many?
Yeah, yeah. They have a bad name. Also, we think we're eating a lot of carbs, but the types of carbs we're eating may not be the right type. Like I eat a lot of carbohydrates, but I eat a lot of fruit, a lot of gluten-free buckwheat bread, a lot of rice, and a lot of like unprocessed carbs as opposed to pastas and cookies and chips and all those. And people go, oh, I eat a lot of carbs because I eat that. I go, yeah, but you think you're eating a lot of carbs, yeah, because you're eating potato chips, but you're actually eating a lot of fat as well. So
yes, and salt.
Yeah, what's that ratio doing? I think that's that's really important. And then if you have gut issues, then it's just going to aggravate it. Candida overgrowth, parasites, dysbiosis, or even if someone's missing their period, I find it's, well, I used to think it was because you're not eating enough fat to create progesterone. And there was this whole push to eat healthy fats. So I ate a lot of fats and a lot of tahini and nuts and seeds and olive oil and fish. And then I realized I was eating all fats and not enough carbs. So you still need carbs to ovulate as well.
Yes.
So really, really important. And then the biggest thing, and let me know if you've seen this, but that under eating around, like I see it a lot in new mums as well who kind of want to bounce back or in young women, like we chatted about last time. But do you ever see that where you go, oh, you're probably actually not eating enough food?
Yeah, I think it's very common. With all the pressure that women can feel with looking a certain way. So, yeah, definitely common.
Yeah, yeah. And just the skipping, I guess, the skipping meals because there's probably a lot of women also who are busy and unintentionally skipping meals. Like if you're racing around after a kid or doing stuff or cleaning or whatever, you might just be like, I'll just have a coffee or a cuppa and I'll eat later, whatever. Later, and all of a sudden you're like, if I'm not eating 4 or 5 meals a day, again, how are you getting enough protein and fats in? And then it might come to dinner and then you overeat at dinner because you're so hungry because you haven't eaten properly all day. So it's
you get the 3 p.m. crash.
Yes. And then you're just snacking on stuff that normally you'd be like, I wouldn't normally eat that. Or if I'd had a protein rich lunch, I wouldn't be as like craving as I am now. And then I guess the last thing is kind of like, how do we measure recovery and if we're eating enough? Because if you're not tracking, then how do you know if you're eating enough, right? So I kind of go, if you can track for a week so that you've got some idea as to a ballpark. I had a friend do this the other day. She's got 2 sets of twins. She's around my age. And they're only like 2 years apart. So
oh my gosh, busy.
Yeah, I know, crazy. Anyway, so she tracked and she was like, flip, my protein is so under and I'm not eating nearly enough carbs. So she doesn't track every day now, but she has a ballpark as to where she's sitting going, oh, actually I need to eat more protein. Like I didn't realize how low it was. And when you're looking at these heavy periods or detoxing, whatever, you like, that liver needs enough protein to detox things properly. So I think if you're fatigued, if you've got like period issues, if you're pulling up really sore from exercise and it's not heavy like deadlifting or heavy weights, because I mean when I was doing CrossFit, yes, I pulled up sore, but the workouts were really hard. So then you kind of expect it. But if you're sort of not bouncing back properly or you're starting to develop gut issues or whatnot, I would say really, really take a look at that nutrition. And if you're like, I feel like my nutrition's on point, then maybe you need to go a little bit deeper with some testing.
Yeah. Very good points.
Cool. Well, I think that covers off most of the things that we wanted to chat about. Anything else you feel like I need to add to that?
I think that's
the main things. If you're listening and you go, I really got questions around pre and post training and nutrition, please send me a DM on Instagram.
What about protein powders after exercising? Like,
Do you use a protein powder? No, I don't use one. If you were to use them, would you use a vegan source or would you use a standard one? Do you avoid dairy?
I would use a standard one because I don't avoid dairy.
Okay. So when it comes, so I used to avoid dairy for years, right? Until I realized I actually didn't need to. I was like, oh, opening moment. This is great. But if you're avoiding dairy for whatever reason, SIBO, gut issues, skin issues, whatever it is, endo, whatever it is that you feel like that's the right fit for you, a collagen one is great because it's really healing and repairing, but it's not a complete amino acid profile. So you need to get some animal sources in as well to complete that protein source. So that's one aspect. There are some really good fermented brown rice ones or pea proteins. But again, if you have gut issues, the legume-based ones can be harder to digest. And some of the rice ones, again, they can be a bit grainy. So it's finding one that you like and also one that doesn't give you bloating or gut issues. Otherwise, I find a whey is really like a straight whey I use, which is just really fast digesting, really good pre and post, and then a casein, so a slow digesting one before bed or something, because it takes longer to metabolize. Or if you're having it in the afternoon and you want to stay full till dinner, mix some whey or some casein in with your yogurt, really boosts that protein content, and that's fine. Some people will not be able to handle the whey or casein ones, though. If you've got gut issues, they'll be a no-go.
That's good.
I feel like it's a real controversial topic because people want vegan sources and then they look at what's in the vegan ones and I go, yeah, but that's so crap for you, or you can't digest flipping pea protein properly, or some just taste gross, or they add a heap of stevia or like fake sweeteners that give it this real weird aftertaste. So I always go as simple as possible and then just add your own shit to it, add dates to it, add cacao to it, and just because I never have it in a shake either, right? Like I don't. No. So that's the difference. Some people do. So then they want the thickeners and the emulsifiers and everything. But then I go, well, then usually you're just getting protein in there and that's not balancing your blood sugar. So unless you're having that then with milk or something that's got a bit of like fat and carbs in it, well, then it's not even beneficial. So then you might as well have it in a smoothie. You might as well add your own flavors or put it in protein bowls, or like I said, stir it through yogurt or oats or something, so you've got the carbohydrate aspect in there. I'm not as concerned about the fats, but have your carbs with your protein to balance that blood sugar.
Yeah, no, that all makes sense.
Cool. Well, that was a bit of a rant, but
love it.
Awesome. Well, yes, thanks so much for talking that through with me, and I really appreciate it. And like I said, if anyone's any questions, please leave us a review, reach out on Instagram. More than happy to help, or send through stuff you want to hear on the podcast. And we're more than happy to cover these topics for you.
Thank you.
Lara, bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowered Hormone Podcast. If you know a female who needs some empowerment, please forward, repost, tag, or share, and let's get women talking.